Good morning. So what's the world coming to? Yes, there are plenty of things going on in the world today that might lead you to ask, what's the world coming to? The plummeting stock market, terrorism, global warming, drug abuse, child obesity, identity theft, children being born with AIDS, online porn, meth labs, binge drinking, drinking and driving, driving while texting, textbooks in schools that present evolution as fact, and Genesis being thought of as a 40 or a 50 chapter fairy tale. How many abortions happen every day? You know, we're supposed to save the whales, save the spotted owl, save the rainforest, while 115,000 babies are aborted worldwide every day. We're supposed to allow homosexuality and same-sex marriage in the spirit of tolerance, while traditional ideals are not tolerated. There are movements against nativity scenes in public. And the Ten Commandments, well, they're treated like 10 suggestions. And not just by unbelievers, but by believers too. It's rubbing off onto Christians. Christians are beginning to doubt the inerrancy of Holy Scripture, or the creation of the world in 6 days, or even the virgin birth. It seems that Satan has more than just his foot in the door. Yes, there's plenty out there to lead us to ask, what's the world coming to? But in truth, today's message isn't really about these problems. Today's message is about what the world is coming to. The world is coming to an end. This is the time of year when we reflect on the end times. So why don't we take a look together at 7 Bible passages that relate to the event that we have come to know as Judgment Day. Passage 1 is from Matthew 25. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Notice the first word, all. From all the corners of the globe, even the remotest recesses, all people will be gathered, even those that have died. No one will be missing. And then focus on the word sheep. If I am a sheep, it's not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus' doing. It was the Good Shepherd who said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Passage 2 is from the same book. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. You know, the first time Jesus came, very few people recognized who He was in that manger or even on the cross. But just wait until He comes again. No one will fail to recognize Him then. Everybody will bow down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on Judgment Day. Passage 3 is from Luke. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Christ is coming. Whether I think about it or not. Christ is coming whether I'm ready or not. Nothing on this earth is more certain than the fact that He is coming again. And nothing on earth is more uncertain than the time of His return. Passage 4 from 2 Peter. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Fervent heat, the earth being burned up. Now that's real global warming for you, huh? And it's going to happen. Are you ready? Are your bags packed? Passage 5 from Mark. If He comes suddenly, do not let Him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. to avoid a spiritual sleep, as indicated in this passage, requires a constant packing, so to speak. I need regular use of the gospel in word and sacrament for Jesus to be packed in my heart, as it were. And I can't just pack once and then leave it in the closet and expect that to be good enough. I need to daily rejuvenate my faith through experience with the Word. The next passage is pretty similar from Luke. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. We've all heard about parables relating the anguish and the regret of those who weren't ready. So this is serious business. But for the believer in Christ, it's a time to look forward to, as stated in 1 Thessalonians and our 7th passage. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So what do these 7 passages tell us? What are we to do? Well, we are to get ready. And we are to watch. And we are to help others. In other words, get busy waiting. For example, if you see someone who's slipping into a societal trend that you know isn't right, help them out of it. Speak out against acts that are immoral and ungodly. Stick up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus. Help people to see that there's more than just life on this earth, that there's something better to come, that Christ is coming again. And while you're at it, be vigilant that you yourself aren't led astray by what's out there in the world. After all, we all are children of the light, as stated in Thessalonians. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. A lot of people have fears that the world is coming to an end. They're worried about that big ozone hole, that the hole in the ozone's getting bigger, letting through harmful UV rays. Maybe this could be the end. We'll all get fried. Or how about a worldwide nuclear holocaust? Could this be the way the world ends? Some alarmists predict that global warming will make our polar ice caps melt, causing oceanic levels to rise 20 feet, obliterating all of our coastal regions and their populations. Maybe this could be the end? No, I don't think so. We should be good stewards of the earth. We should stop wasting so much and recycle more. We should take better care of what we've been given. But at the same time, we need to look at the big picture. Somebody is in control. And even though it may appear to some that our planet is deteriorating, it really isn't going to be destroyed by man. God is reserving that for Himself. So go out there into the mission field and let your light of Christianity shine. Be vigilant against all that's bad in the world. Don't be part of it. Don't get attached to it. Be part of something bigger. Be part of something better. Get busy waiting. And look forward to the day when Christ comes again as does the writer John in Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's sing the two stanzas of the hymn on the screen.